In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Imagine growing up in a small town. You work in the family business alongside your brother, under the supervision of your father. It's hard work. It's physical work. You don't have much formal schooling. Your future is not a desk job. You're not going to college. And fancy suits and fancy dinner parties are not known to you. They're simply not a part of your world. You believe in God. You say the prayers that your mother taught you. But you lack any sort of background or, it seems, aptitude to be a religious leader or teacher in any sense. And besides, you have a bit of a temper, and you are known for your intensity. You and your brother are not to be messed with at the local watering hole. And then one day you meet someone, and your life has changed forever. And as your life has changed forever, so the world is forever changed through you. Today we celebrate the feast of our namesake, St. John the Apostle, also known as St. John the Evangelist and St. John the Theologian. And he's most often referred to in this last manner as the Theologian by Eastern Orthodox Christians, who actually celebrate his feast day in late September, which gives us some basis for celebrating it now, and not on December 27th, which is John's feast day in the West. It would be hard for us to celebrate his feast day properly on December 27th, for the reason you guessed, because of its proximity to Christmas. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Well, John, all those descriptions, well, let's put it this way. John was a guy who would have worn plaid shirt and boots and jeans. Now, of course, he didn't actually wear those things because fashions were different in the first century. But I shared that earlier description to give you a sense of the kind of guy, and I use that term intentionally, the kind of guy St. John was. When we first meet and first learn about St. John in the Gospel, when Jesus calls him and his brother James to drop their nets and leave their father Zebedee and follow him, John is not yet a saint. He's not an evangelist. He's not an apostle. He's not a theologian. He is a fisherman, commercial fisherman, a local boy in his late teens or early 20s, living the best life he was ever going to live on the Sea of Galilee. And all that changed when he met Jesus. Through Jesus, John went places he never would have gone. Through Jesus, John met people he never otherwise would have met. Through Jesus, John became part of a new spiritual family, whose bonds, strengthened by the Spirit, would prove themselves stronger than the shedding of blood, torture, and persecution. And through Jesus, John exchanged his nets for fishes for a spiritual catching of people. And through Jesus, John's naturally fiery temperament, remember his nickname in the New Testament is Sons of Thunder, he and his brother, that temperament was transformed into deep, abiding love. John is known as the Apostle of Love. And it's a frequent theme in all the books of the New Testament which bear his name. For example, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life." John 3:16. The eagle, look at the eagle over there, is the traditional symbol for St. John and for the gospel that bears his name. Because in his book, it soars to heights of mystery and theology and poetry and really high-level sorts of things. not bad for a fisherman, a Jewish kid from a rough and tumble neighborhood on Lake Galilee. And by the way, it was a freshwater lake. It still is, not a saltwater sea. Today we celebrate St. John, but we also celebrate this particular Christian family known as St. John's Dubuque, a congregation founded in 1845, over 175 years ago, by the great missionary who traveled all over the Midwest on horseback, Bishop Jackson Kemper. And Bishop Kemper himself donated and consecrated, blessed, our baptismal font as you come into the church. It goes back to the 1850s. It predates this building. And since those first days of Bishop Kemper and the first pioneering women and men of this congregation, generations, think about it, generations have had their faith awakened, strengthened, and sustained in this holy place. For generations, women and men from all walks of life and professions and backgrounds, from plumbers to professors, if you will, younger and older, have been fed at the altar in the Eucharistic meal. And having been fed in the Eucharist, these generations took their faith with them into their families and their marriages and their friendships, into their neighborhoods, their schools, their civic activities, into their jobs, and into the wider world. And for generations, one-time, regular, and occasional worshipers have shared a powerful moment or a poignant moment here at a baptism, a wedding, or a funeral. Or maybe it was just an ordinary Sunday for most, but for whatever reason that Sunday was particularly meaningful and powerful for a particular worshiper. If you've ever had those kind of moments here at St. John's, raise your hand. Look around, you can see several hands. And I know for some of you, the power of those moments are forever etched into your memory. Let's just take a moment to think about some of those moments silently. This place, this community, this people that is St. John's has been made holy, set apart, soaked with prayer, soaked with emotion, soaked with the energies of the generations of people who have prayed in this place. Just think about it. All the generations of people have sat exactly where you're sitting right now. All the way back, or about 150 years or so in this building. And this place, this community, this people that is St. John's has also been made holy, of meaning, of value, a pathway to God through all those people's lives. The joys and blessings of their lives, the tragedies and heartaches of their lives that they brought with them here, that they prayed about, that they were sharing with this spiritual family. St. John's is not just this congregation now, just me and you and the people to your left and right. It is this, but it is more. St. John's is also this parish family going back in time and extending into the future. October is Pledge Month at St. John's. It's a time where we are invited to give to St. John's. The building, the community, the people, this parish family, past, present, and future. Now, a pledge is not just a little form that we fill out, a little financial thing we do. No, it's a prayerful intention. It's a hopeful intention. It's a spiritual commitment. And it's a pledge that says, I'm part of this spiritual family. It's a pledge that says, I support this spiritual family. It's a pledge that says, I want a vital St. John's in the present and a growing St. John's in the future. It's a pledge that says, I put my faith into action. It's not just something I talk about. I put it into action. It's a pledge that says, I'm striving to be a disciple. And it's a pledge that says that just as St. John's life was forever changed by Jesus, I want my life to be forever changed by Jesus, by the God of love. And I want other people in our wider community to have their life enriched and strengthened and supported and changed, even transformed by being a part of the St. John's family. Now, if you're a guest today, sit back and relax. This part of the message isn't for you. But for all of you, I hope this is a good reminder that a pledge is of great importance to a local church. And not just as a financial planning tool as we look to planning our budget for 2024. It certainly is that. But it also, a pledge is also an outward and visible sign of your inward commitment to God and to this parish family, to a particular Christian family. A parish is not fundamentally a corporation. It's not fundamentally a business. We can learn in some cases from that, and we can reject some things from that. It is fundamentally a spiritual family, a family of families, a tribe that gathers to support one another. And a pledge is a sign, I am committed to that particular family, and I'm committed to God through that family. So, think about this as well. Few things motivate us in life toward greater commitment and greater growth than giving of our time, talent, and treasure. If you want your life to change in any way, give yourself to something. And that's our theme motto for this year's pledge campaign is give to grow. Giving will grow St. John's now and in the future. Giving will grow your faith as well. So pledge out of gratitude. Remember, every week we celebrate the Eucharist, which in Greek means thanksgiving. So the Christian is to be a person of thanksgiving. And one way we show our thanksgiving is by regular worship. Another way is by regular giving. Give, pledge to make a difference, and pledge to demonstrate your faith. Now, I've already made my pledge. Feel free to ask me afterwards all about it. I'll tell you how I calculate it. I'll tell you the exact number. I'll tell you a tithe. I'll tell you all those kind of things you might want to know about my pledging and my other giving. And I encourage you to make your pledge as well. May all of us, in all aspects of our lives, not just in our finances, hold on to this little jewel of life, this little spiritual treasure, is that we give by growing. So in everything we do, may we give to grow. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.